Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. You're flying solo today. I hope Keith's enjoying a day off.
He's not. He's working somewhere else. That's the Keith is always on assignment somewhere in the Midwest or coast to coast. He's got too many organizations, activities, and everything else that goes along with it. But we'll have fun in his absence. He will be back next week, obviously, with graduation and everything else going on here locally and school board stuff. He'll be around. He'll be around for all that. How's your golf game? If every day is going to be 90 degrees, 86 degrees, you've had to play at least once this month.
Well, I have gotten out once this month, but I would not say my golf game is anywhere near where I'd like it to be, but most golfers would probably say the same thing. So I'm in the same boat as all the rest of us to try to play this crazy sport.
You are, exactly. Just because the weather is nice, there's not some kind of math formula that works out that translates to the game. It's just nice to not have to wear layers and have wind chill and things like that when it's nice and hot every day. We're not here to talk about golf or Colonial or anything else. We've got too many other great things going on. I'm not going to burden you with traffic too much because I've got Adam Wason tomorrow morning at 8:05, so we'll get into the nitty-gritty of that. But just an overview, how everything has – what has been the reaction to you guys being proactive? I think it has to be positive.
Well, I hope it is. And I recognize that, you know, traffic mitigation is challenging and that from the motorist perspective, getting from point A to point B around Bloomington has been challenging and will be throughout the course of the summer until I-69 gets done and some of our other projects, right? City, county, state, all doing things at the same time. University's got projects going on as well, and that's very common for our summer. I do want to point out that we have, on a trial basis for 2 days consecutively out on West 3rd Street, been directing traffic with BPD staff, and it seems to be making a difference. We're flying our drone to kind of get an aerial view and seeing if it's making a difference. We're understanding that yesterday's delays were no more than 5 or 10 minutes to get over the bridge on 3rd Street going westbound, and that's the pain point seems to be going westbound now as the lane shifts that have been recently put in place by NDOT have opened up two lanes coming in from west to east, but only one lane going westbound. So that was our attempt to try to see if we could make a difference by managing traffic in about 5 stoplights. So after day one of doing that, we had 5 officers. Day two, we increased it to 7, and the times were better. We're going to continue that for 2 more days this week. We will not be there this weekend over Memorial Weekend, including the Monday holiday. And then we're going to commit today, on your show, by the way, to doing it for another 4 days next week.
Outstanding.
Through the end of the week. And what we think is going to happen, and we're always watching, you know, the progress of the NDOT various intersection improvements that are going to start to open. Tap Road should open June 1st, and when that opens, we think 2nd Street will get better than it is today, and then 2nd Street's supposed to open in mid-June, which means that'll relieve pressure on 3rd. So we're going to kind of keep monitoring this. We were able to staff 1 street with 5 to 7 officers. We could have never staffed all 3, so when people go, well, why didn't you do this sooner? We don't have the resources to stick officers out there for that period of time. So when we knew we had the resources to match the opportunity to help mitigate traffic with actual physical resources, we've done that, and I think it's making a difference.
It has to, because your video evidence shows it to you. And how helpful has NDOT been in this whole process?
Well, you know, they're very fixated, and as they should be, on getting done by August. No one has heard more complaints than them about they're 2 years behind. They're tired of hearing it. We're tired of saying it. The motorists are tired of dealing with it. So, you know, they're accommodating where they can be. There are times when they're like, that's going to slow us down and we're not going to let that happen. So they've, you know, I think probably fairly said where there are some things we will do to try to help. There are some things we're not going to do because otherwise it makes our schedule altered and then it causes other pain points, you know, down the road for students coming back. We certainly have half as many cars arguably on the road now. And if they don't get done before the students come back, then all that student traffic really times two because parents come too, right?
Absolutely.
Creates a big hassle, and then football game days and everything else. So they don't want to go through another season of that. So they're. I will say I see a lot of progress on their end. There's a lot of people on the highway. I've driven back and forth to Indy a couple times the last week or so, and it's very noticeable that there's been a very concerted effort on their part to try to get this project done in August. Same thing is going on with the city and the county. I can only speak for us, but great cooperation with the county on the Country Club Road Bridge project. That's looks like it's going to be done at the end of June instead of the end of July, thanks to acceleration payments both entities are making and CBU Utilities Department's making. Another project coming. I'll let Adam talk about these kind of sequentially since you're talking to him tomorrow. But you know, people have to be prepared for other projects in the queue coming up. As some of these get finished, it should lessen the stress because it opens up more east-west opportunities, and that's where all the pain seems to be experienced the most. So you know, it's a puzzle. It's a big puzzle, and weather changes the completion dates, and sometimes digging in the ground, you find something you didn't think was there, and that can change the completion dates. But I think the groups that all entities that we continue to talk to, NDOT, School Corporation, the county, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the city staff, everybody's working together to try to minimize the traffic congestion where we can.
Mick Renheisen, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington, is our guest this morning. He checks in every Thursday, and we have different levels of stuff going on here in Bloomington because we have the university stuff, then they go away, then we've got the end of school, and that goes away. Before we know it, it's going to be June, and summer's going to be here, and we're going to kick off another level of summer with the pools and everything else getting opened with an asterisk on Saturday because my forecast stinks, and I apologize for that in advance.
Well, that's right. So, you know, summer is here. The kids are about to get out of school. The pool's open this weekend, pending your weather forecast.
I'll take the blame for it. I, you know, I'm a big pool guy. I'm a big fan of yours, and I had a great idea. I've got a way to help traffic at the pool because I remember this from last year. And everybody, the first day, if I could plead to you, it's going to be 90 degrees. It's going to be hot. Don't sign up for your season pass when there are 787 people behind you in line just wanting to get in the pool. Can you please help me out? Last year, we stood in line for 10 to 15 minutes because – everybody said, oh, great, the pool's open. Let's fill out some paperwork. No, pay for the day, get everybody in, then go back out and do that later. We need an express pass. You need like, you know, like they have in Chicago or those other places where you go through the toll. You need an express pass. I'll wear one like a headband. I'll be the test monkey for this. I will try how this works. You can zap me in and zap me out, know how many times I go, send me a bill. And then there you go. I'll pay the $3. It's like a parking meter. I'll be a walking parking meter at the pool.
I like that. Well, people can get their passes early. You can
do that. Please.
You don't have to buy a season pass. You can buy them in punch passes, 10, 20, or 50 punch passes. So there's a lot of ways to, you know, kind of get the cost down if you're a frequent user of the pool. I know you are, Glass.
Absolutely.
I know you buy a pass. But there are other options for people if they're not quite sure they're going to want a pass and they use it as frequently as you do. And just as you said, it's a great observation. Take advantage of buying your pass early so you don't stand in line.
And it saves you money.
Yep, absolutely.
And the pools will be open, fingers crossed, on Saturday. The reason I say that, it's a 90% chance of thunderstorms. That doesn't mean it's going to thunderstorm all day, but you can go to the city's website, or there's a number you can call too, Mick, if you want to know about how when they close, when there's lightning in the area, how that all works. It's always going to be safety first.
Absolutely. That number's 349-3741. The pool's hotline about ignition, hours of operation, and, of course, weather. If there's an event that would call the pool's hours off or change the hours for any given day of the week. It's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. normally, but obviously those hours are subject to weather.
And let's get our friends with Indiana University Health Hospital back on that 90-degree day thing too, because I don't think they would have expected that to start so quickly. Or maybe we get that program reinstated. Now, the Easy Pass idea, I'm totally serious about. I will be the guinea pig for that. I don't care how it works. Put an anklelet, whatever needs to go along with that. I will try that. I will get zapped in and ready to go. All right, enough fun for 1 minute. Looks like the Parking Commission is meeting today, 5:30 to 7:30. What should we expect, if anything, out of that meeting?
Well, I think they're kind of narrowing down. They've looked at the consultants' report, the Desmond study, and they've got their own ideas of things that they've done in their work to coincide some with the Desmond study. And I believe it's their intent to take some of their recommendations through the city council's legislative process as early as June.
Okay.
And so we'll be awaiting to see which of those emerge out of the recommendations of the Parking Commission. The city staff are all involved in parking at the city are looking at the reports as well, both the commissions and the Desmond study, to try to see see where we think there are some changes that could be made, and if so, they should be made in mass or if they should be made in phases. I think our sense is a bit more of a phased approach, but you know, we'll wait to see what the Parking Commission recommends and the City Council's appetite for legislative changes to any and all parking things. So there's a lot in that report. I hope that everyone's patient, community members, as well, as we digest that to try to figure out the best way to move forward with our parking challenges. And we have them, right? You know, we had nobody like the meters when they were in, but they're really accomplishing what they're intended to do. We've got parking structures of various ages, most of them by definition of capacity standards, according to consultants, are at capacity most of the time. What does that suggest? Maybe new parking infrastructure is needed, or rate increases are needed to drive parkers in other locations, or, you know, there's a whole array of things that you have to study, because it too is a puzzle piece when you're trying to put together a kind of a master plan for managing parking infrastructure, because it's not cheap, right? It costs about $20,000 a space to construct a parking garage.
Wow.
And surface parking. Surface parking is a very inefficient way to use land downtown or anywhere where it's very urbanized, because it's very costly land, so you don't want to spread out a bunch of asphalt over a wide area. So, you know, these are growing community challenges that we're facing in Bloomington, and other communities have faced it long before us. We'll try to learn from the best practices of other places. That's why we hired a consultant. And then again, kind of, I think on our standpoint, probably phase in various suggestions from the study, but we'll see what the Parking Commission comes up with as they talk tonight.
Do you feel there's frustration there because we've changed so many behaviors so, I don't want to say quickly, but we had the two-hour shuffle, then we had this, then we had that, and then we're doing this. It just seems like we haven't found the perfect one. Do you keep hitting the pinata till it explodes?
Well, you know, it's fair to say that the initial rollout of parking, you know, which obviously had some animus to it from the public, is people didn't want to pay for things that they had for free for a long time. You know, elected officials are careful not to agitate too many people, rightfully so. And, you know, you want to try it and see if it works. And it's been in place, what now, 6 or 7 years? And I'm not suggesting the meters will change at all. I think, you know, you holistically look at all of your parking options, which is what we asked the consultant and the Parking Commission has also done. And you just kind of see how you're doing. And some of it's financial, right, that there's a cost to it. I just gave you a generic cost for
a
parking space.
Well, the other thing is, you know, how much money are you going to – do you want to run this in the red? Do you want to run it in the black? How are we going to do that moving forward? Those are important questions.
That's a fundamental question. Should parking be subsidized? It is today. Should it be? That's another question. Should it be a profit center? Probably not. But, you know, that's an argument some cities make.
Does somebody argue against washing it out where it's a zero-sum gain type deal? Is there an argument against that? It sounds to me that's the simplest one. Hey, if it costs us $1 million, let's get $1 million in, and then we stop. I'm a little naive to this. This is why I like talking to you about it. Is there a counter argument to why it shouldn't wash out or should be subsidized or those different options?
Well, I think there's a market argument for
okay.
the argument about what you charge, right? So we know what our meters cost now. We know what our current rates are for our parking pass holders and daily users and parking structures. So that does not bring in enough to offset the cost. That's a known fact. So to raise the rates, what will the market allow? If we raise it too high, whether that's just to break even or, you know, to make money, which is, again, I don't think the intent or would be the intent, but it's an option to consider. Well, let's just assume breaking even is the standard. We're subsidizing parking operations now. Well, what happens if you have to raise the rates to twice what they are in the parking structures? Will people not buy passes? And if they don't buy passes, then you're still subsidizing parking because no one's using your structure.
Yeah, you're behind,
so,
not forward.
You know, you have to find the happy medium in there, but you've got to start with the philosophy of what are you trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because the people that are paying for the parking right now that is being subsidized, you're just going to increase their stuff, not perhaps draw new people in. So I think you'd have to add to the pool, wouldn't you, instead of raising it? How do you get more people into the parking to well, that's why these commissions and studies are going on. Now, see, now I've learned more than I probably should have on that. That's good. I like that. Now, is the Parking Commission full? We had a couple people that terms didn't get renewed. Do they get replaced? How does that? Is there a deadline? What are you doing there?
I don't think the replacements have been made yet. It's a very specifically appointed commission. You know, I have to have a representative from a downtown business where there's a meter in front of the business. So, you know, they have to have a not-for-profit from the downtown area. And so there's kind of, you know, some of that pool is somewhat limited. And then some of our outreach to some people has been they don't want to be on it because they don't have the time. You know, so we're still working through trying to get those appointments made. And I don't think they'll be there for, I know they won't be there for the commission meeting tonight, but the commission has a quorum. They've continued to meet and do their business absent the members that aren't there yet.
Big Memorial Day plans for the weekend?
Oh, a little golf if it doesn't storm on Saturday. And I'm actually going to go down for my wedding anniversary with my wife and watch the horses run at Churchill Downs on a day.
Very nice.
So we'll kind of do that once every summer. I'm looking forward to doing that. To me, the watching them race is as fun as whether you win or lose.
I agree.
Our old friend Joe Smith and others used to do that every spring, go down to Keeneland.
They still do.
Go down and watch the ponies run. I know they do. I haven't done that with them for a long time.
You work too much. That's the problem. You need to get down there and have a nice trip. Well, you call Joe before you go. You know, Joe racked it out on the Derby and the Preakness. He's been all over
this. Absolutely.
He has been flying high. Well, congratulations to you and your wife on your anniversary. Fantastic there. Enjoy a little time off. We know June's going to be busy. Heck, we'll be talking about the taste, more traffic stuff, and everything else.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your time as always, Mick. Thanks for catching up and shedding some light for us.
You're welcome, Glass. Have a good day.